tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm Mark Levonier. During radio's golden era, one of the most listened to and award-winning dramatic shows on the air was the long-running anthology series Suspense, which not only brought listeners to the edge of their seat, but invited many actors who weren't necessarily well-known in dramatic roles to show their skills in a kind of play that would put their reputation aside or sometimes play off of it and deliver a really entertaining half-hour of radio. Later on, we'll hear a broadcast from the series called The Cellar Door, starring Paula Winslow. She was one of many voices from radio's yesteryear that you might have heard in different programs without even realizing it, yet her performances helped to create and maintain the richness of a drama, the tension of a thriller, or the fast pace of a comedy, making her one of the great utility actors of the golden age of radio, while also making her mark in one of the most notable sitcoms of that time. Winslow had made her way to Hollywood with her husband to pursue his career in films, but she ended up taking off with her voice talent. Among her first jobs was as a voiceover artist during the transition period when silent film actors were having their lines redone for the newer talkies in the late 20s and early 30s, and it wasn't until around the middle of that decade that we find, at least in terms of what's been preserved, her earliest radio appearances in 1937. One of them in the first broadcast of what would be a very popular series starring Edward G. Robinson, Big Town.
Same Steve I knew in Nome. The same technique with the ladies.
Now, wait a minute. Now, don't tell me that I haven't learned anything in all this time.
Oh, I wouldn't be that uncomplimentary, Steve. You've learned a great deal. You've learned how to turn garbage into print at a great profit.
Now, is that the way to treat an old friend?
You're about as friendly as a rattlesnake.
What?
Yes, or should I apologize to the rattlesnake?
During the late 1930s, Paula Winslow showed how versatile of a performer she was alongside some of Hollywood's greats on the Texaco Star Theater variety show, along with many appearances on the Lux Radio Theater, which adapted movies on the air, putting her in the same broadcasts with people like Clark Gable and William Powell, even Walt Disney, for a radio adaptation of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 1938. It's not known if that broadcast had an effect on Disney, but Winslow won the part of the voice of Bambi's mother in the 1942 classic animated film, with her husband, John Sutherland, voicing the adult Bambi. While in biographies that may have been her claim to fame to the public at large, radio listeners, who may not even realize that she was the voice of Bambi's mother, knew her best in the role of the wife to Chester A. Reilly on The Life of Reilly Show, one of the top 10 sitcoms on the air in the mid to late 1940s, drawing over 15 million listeners a week. Like many sitcoms of that era, the formula of the bumbling husband and wiser wife was quite popular, with Winslow playing a role that would mostly set up the next joke from her radio husband, but at the same time showing her strength of her delivery and timing. And in this next broadcast, some power, as the story involves her character running for local office at a time when women were often dissuaded from being in the political arena. Here's Paula Winslow now as Peggy in The Life of Reilly from May 4th, 1951 on NBC.
The Life of Reilly. Well, it's a bright Saturday afternoon. An hour ago, Chester A. Reilly came home with his pay envelope. And since Mrs. Reilly has been on her feet doing housework all week, the ever-thoughtful Reilly made her get all dressed up and took her out for a big time.
Yes, sir, Peg. There's nothing like a good walk in a park. Here, have some more peanuts.
Oh, thanks, dear.
And when you get through with the peanuts, I got a bag of popcorn in my pocket. And the first popsicle man comes along, he's got a sucker. Yeah, when I take my little wife out, money's no object.
Oh, Reilly, my feet are killing me. Let's sit down on a bench somewhere. Well, I wonder where they all got to. There used to be so many benches.
Well, we'll come to one soon. Oh, I love this park. It's beautiful.
Be a lot more beautiful if they didn't have a political poster on every tree. Look at that. Isn't that awful? Re-elect Joseph Barton for park supervisor on every tree. Something ought to be done about this.
Peg, leave politics to the politicians.
But I think a politician ought
to... Look, Peg, why mix into something that ain't your line? Take, for instance, a delicatessen man. Would you tell him how to run his business? No, because he knows more about bologna than you do. And the same thing goes for politicians.
It is my business. It's everybody's business. People only get the kind of government they deserve. Why, last election, you didn't even vote.
So what? My one vote don't matter. I just want to be left alone.
But if the wrong man gets elected, you won't be left alone. Oh, you're really out of date.
Me? Out of date? Listen, when it comes to politics, I'm as up to the minute as the next guy.
Then it's about time you took that Hoover button out of your lapel.
Oh, that was the only thing I could find to cover up this gravy stain.
Oh, there's a bench over there. Hurry up before somebody else gets it.
Yeah. Oh, feels good to sit down.
Sorry, folks, I'll have to ask you to get up.
What?
We're taking this bench.
What do you mean you're
taking all the benches in. This is the last one.
Oh, you're having them repainted, huh?
No, junking them. They're closing down the park. Gonna build a brewery.
Closing down the park? Why, this is the only park in the district. Where'll all the little babies get fresh air? Where'll all the little boys sail their boats? Where'll all the sailors... Never mind the sailors. Where'll all the little boys sail their boats?
Don't ask me, mister. Ask that guy on the tree there.
Oh, you mean Joe Barton? He's responsible for this?
Well, I wouldn't want to get quoted, but he's the guy behind the brewery. Be seeing you, folks.
Putting up a brewery. It's a good thing I got wind of it. Peg, we got to stop this Barton from getting reelected.
Oh, you've changed your mind about mixing in politics.
This is different. I don't mind a little graft, but when they tear down a park and put up a brewery, they're getting drunk with power.
Well, you can't stop Barton. He's running unopposed.
You mean there's no other... Why, that's terrible.
Of course, if enough people get together, they could nominate an independent write-in candidate.
An independent candidate. That's it. I'm calling a meeting at our house tonight.
Well, that'd be wonderful, Riley.
Yes, sir. We'll nominate a candidate who'll fight for the people's rights. And he won't be an illiterate ignoramus like that Barton.
Well, who do you have in mind?
Well, M-E-E. So them's the facts, fellow citizens. And that's why Joe Barton has got to be licked. So now let's nominate an independent candidate. Any suggestions?
Mr. Chairman, I nominate...
First, let me tell you the kind of a candidate we need to beat the Barton machine. We need someone who's intelligent. Someone with a head on his shoulders. A head that'll be used to make planks for our platform. We need someone who's a good parent, who understands children. Someone who's a homemaker, who is loved by each and every one in this community. Someone who...
Mr. Chairman, there's no need to go any further. There is only one person who fulfills all those qualifications, and that person is right here in this room.
Well, if you put it that way, I guess I...
Fellow citizens, it is a privilege to nominate as our candidate, Mrs. Chester Riley. Yay!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And in accepting this nom-dagger, hey, wait, you... What a revolting development this is.
Oh, look, dear. There's another one of my campaign posters in the grocery window.
Yeah, I see it.
Well, there's one in that lamppost, Mom.
I see it.
Oh, the committee did a good job. They got them all over.
Oh, and look, up there in the top of the bank building, a big billboard about Mom.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it, Riley?
Some wonderful.
Oh, gee, and it's so big, I can read it from here. Vote for Mrs. Chester Riley for park supervisor, homemaker, mother of two. Oh, and look, Pop, they mention you, too.
Where? What does it say? Where?
Wife of Riveter.
Fine thing. My wife's plastered all over town. Where the prying eyes of all the men can see you.
Oh, but... Riley, I'm a candidate.
I don't care. The picture of a man's wife is kind of sacred. It belongs in the home, in a place of honor. Believe me, when the committee asked me for it, it broke my heart to go down in the cellar and get it. Peg, why did you accept that nomination?
Oh, Riley, you starting that all over again. It was my civic duty.
But
stop. Just because you didn't get the nomination...
That's got nothing to do with it. I could have had it. I was just too modest to hint. Believe me, I ain't jealous of you. It's just that... Well, let's face it. A lot of the voters are dopes. And a politician has got to be able to change the minds of these dopes. Now, what experience have you had in changing the mind of a dope?
Well, I...
I withdraw the question.
God, gosh, Pop, you sure are reactionary.
I am not a reactionary. I'm more what you might call a Tory.
Oh, hey, look, Mom. Here's a whole flock of your posters all over this fence.
Yeah, but what's that poster of Governor Dewey doing there? This is California.
Governor Dewey? Well, how could the... Riley, somebody's put a mustache on my picture.
A mustache. Well, what do you know? That's a good one.
Well, I don't think it's funny.
Now, Peg, don't get sore. This is politics. You asked for it.
Well, gee, there's a whole lot of them with mustaches. Looks like they were put on with rubber stamps.
Oh, go on. It's probably just the work of some kid.
No, it isn't. This is an organized campaign. This is the work of that crooked Barton machine.
Now, don't start blaming your opponent. This is politics. You got to be able to take it.
Well, and look at this poster. Where it says, Mother of Two, someone wrote Grandmother of 22. Oh.
Grandmother of Two. Hiya, Grandma.
Riley.
Oh, and look here. Instead of homemaker, it says homebreaker.
A grandmother with a mustache is a homebreaker. That's terrific.
Oh, you make me furious.
Come on, Dumplin', where's your sense of humor?
And here's another one, where it says, wife of a riveter.
Let me see that. Wife of a rotten riveter.
Wait a minute. They can't do this to my little wife. This ain't the work of kids. This is that crooked machine.
That's what I said.
I won't stand for it. I'm going over to see Shifty Mike Edwards.
The political boss?
Yeah, rotten riveter, am I? Well, I'm going to tell this Edwards off. And when I get through with him, I'm going to get the rat in my plant who squealed on me.
Hey, Mike, that guy out there's been waiting for over an hour.
Well, let him wait. I'm busy.
Okay.
Oh, where were we, Jack? Oh, yeah, the Board of Aldermen.
Nothing to worry about there, Mike. Our slate is as good as in. All except the park supervisor and the 15th. Our man Barton has got a chance.
Oh, yeah, that Riley woman. That fool Barton and his brewery. Couldn't wait until after the election. Brewery. How did we ever elect him anyway?
We ran him on the prohibition ticket.
Well, Barton's got to get in somehow. There's only one thing to do. The old standby.
You mean, split her vote?
Right. We'll run a third candidate to take away part of her votes, and Barton will get a majority. We've got to run somebody just like Mrs. Riley, an independent citizen.
Yeah, that'll split the vote, all right.
Now, if we can find some big dumb cluck who don't know what time it is...
Hey, Edwards, do you know what time it is? I've been waiting here an hour.
Well, who are you?
Chester Riley, and if you crooks stink, you
can... that's enough out of you.
Let go of me.
Come on, come on, outside.
Wait. Jack, I'm surprised at you. Is that the way to treat an independent citizen?
Oh, of course, an independent citizen. I apologize. Sit right down here, Mr. Riley. Here, you take my chair.
That's more like it.
Yeah, have one of these cigars.
Oh, thanks.
Have a few more.
Well, thanks, I will. There, I got enough.
You may as well take this box now that it's empty. Now, what can we do for you, Mr. Riley?
Well, it's this guy, Barton.
Barton! Don't mention that crook's name in this office.
Crook? But I thought you were behind him.
Well, we were until we found out what kind of a chiseler he is. You know that beautiful Sunset Park where all the little kiddies play?
Yeah?
Well, what do you think he wants to put up there?
A brewery.
Jack, he knows. This boy gets around. He's got a brain.
You bet, and it's as good as new.
Yes, sir, Mr. Riley, for the sake of those darling little kiddies, Barton's got to be whipped.
Don't worry about that. My wife's running against him.
Oh, your dear wife hasn't a chance against Barton. Right, Jack?
Right. According to the secret poll we took, Barton's a sure thing.
We thought of supporting Mrs. Riley, but it's hopeless.
On the level? She can't win? You ain't lying.
You have the word of honest Mike Edwards.
I thought they called you Shifty Mike Edwards.
Honest, Shifty Mike Edwards.
Gee, that's terrible. Barton will get in.
Unless we can run an independent candidate. Only it must be a man. But where can we find the right man? It must be someone like Mrs. Riley, only a man. Jack, do you have any ideas?
No, I just can't think of anyone.
I can't either. Maybe you have a suggestion, Citizen Riley.
Well, the way I see it, we need a man who's intelligent. A man with a head on his shoulders. A man who's a good parent, who understands children, who's loved by each and every one of us in this community. And the next thing I knew, Peg, Honest Mike Edwards nominated me to be Barton.
Riley, are you crazy? Edwards is the Barton machine.
Not anymore. Good old Mike just kicked Barton into the gutter. And now he's getting behind me.
Oh, Riley. Don't you see what's happened? This is a trick to split the vote. All they want is a stooge. And you fell for it and offered yourself as a dummy candidate.
I did not offer myself as a dummy. They picked me.
But Barton's sure to win. Now there are three candidates.
No, only two. You ain't got a chance. You'll resign, of course.
Resign? Me?
Mm-hmm.
But the committee... That's out of the question. You'll have to withdraw, Riley.
But then Barton will win. Dumplin', you don't stand a chance.
That's what you think.
Hey, Mom, did you see my
Junior.
Cap?
Junior, we'll use him for a test. Now tell the truth, Junior. If your mother and me were both running for park supervisor, who would you vote for?
For Mom.
Who asked you? You're too young to vote. Now listen, Peg, be sensible. You don't want to run against your own husband.
That isn't the point. The thing is, which one of us can beat Barton?
Well, you'll never do it.
Well, you certainly won't.
I ain't withdrawing. I'm throwing my head into the ring.
Go ahead, run. If you insist on a fight, you'll get it.
If that's the way you want it, okay, we'll fight it out. We'll let the voters choose who they want. Wife or husband, mother or father, beauty or the beast.
So now, Riley and his wife are rival candidates for the same political office, park supervisor. Both are anxious to defeat crooked Joe Barton, who seeks re-election, but neither Riley nor his wife are willing to withdraw. Now it's election eve, and things in the Riley household are somewhat strained.
Peg.
Hmm? What is it?
Talk to me.
Riley, can't you see I'm studying this speech?
Yeah, you're always studying speeches. What's the use? I told you 1,000 times you can't win. Why, only yesterday I took a straw vote and I won.
Where'd you take a straw vote?
Down at the drugstore. I asked everyone at the soda fountain to vote. It was 11 straws for me and 1 straw for you.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Well, ask Green Speckle. I paid him 60 cents for the 12 Cokes.
All right. So you'll be elected. Now let me work on this speech.
Peg.
Let me see. Fellow citizens, it's only... What is it now?
Let's go to a movie.
Well, I can't tonight, dear. I'm holding my final rally.
Ever since you got to be in politics, you ignore me. I guess you just don't love me anymore.
Why, how can you say that?
Well, it's true. A whole week now, you ain't even kissed me once.
Well, I've been so busy
with... Oh, you don't have to explain. I understand. We're opposing candidates. After all, does Rogers kiss Nolan?
Oh, Riley. You're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Didn't even say one word about my campaign poster with my picture on it.
Well, I haven't even seen it.
Even took down the moose head from over the fireplace and hung my picture up.
Oh, that's right. Funny, I didn't notice it.
That's the last straw.
Oh no, you don't understand.
It took me 17 years of married life to find out I look like a moose.
Oh. But, Riley, I didn't mean
it's that
you look...
It's a good thing we're campaigning against each other. Otherwise, I'd never have found out what you really think of me.
But, Riley, I didn't mean... Riley, wait.
So, I'm a moose.
What's the matter, Pop?
Nothing, Junior. What are you typing there?
Mom's speech for tonight.
Is that all you got to do? Why don't you go out with girls? You should... Your mother's speech?
Yeah, and boy, does she know how to tell a guy off.
Wait, Junior, let me see. Now, let me tell you the kind of a man my opponent is. A man who...
Oh, Pop, you can't read this. It's private.
Junior, take your hands away.
Oh, no, Pop. You'd better not read this.
Junior, look what I got in my hand.
Hey, a dollar bill.
Yeah. Look what I'm doing with it.
What? You threw it out of the window.
Yep. Finders keepers.
Oh, boy, that's enough for 3 movies.
Now, let's see what the... A man who has bribed his way through life. Me, a briber? Oh, what a lie. A man who is a fraud, a cheat, and an unprincipled grafter. Oh, no, no. My own wife. So that's what she thinks of me. If I knew 17 years ago what I know now, I'd never have said yes when she asked me to marry her. What a life. You trust somebody all your life, and in the end, you get dirt thrown in your face.
Who there, Riley?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, I didn't see you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
What are you doing around here, Digger?
Oh, I've just come from the gymnasium, where I attended the weekly meeting of the UEPBBS.
UEPBBS?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Bodybuilding Society. Tonight we had a workout with dumbbells.
They say that's very healthy.
Oh, it is indeed. In fact, we have a motto. I quote, "Take a dumbbell in your hand and swing it willy-nilly, for the hand that holds a dumbbell will never hold a lily."
The way I feel now, I wish I was holding a lily.
Oh, something's troubling you, Riley. Pray tell me.
Well, you know, my wife and me, we're both running for park supervisor.
Oh, yes, I meant to discuss it with you. If you're elected, I'd be glad to donate some benches to the park. Of course, they'll have a little advertising on them.
Advertising?
Something dignified. You are resting here through the courtesy of Digby O'Dell.
That's fine, only I ain't running.
You aren't?
No.
And here I've been breaking my back, digging up voters for you.
You shouldn't have bothered. They can keep their old election.
Ah, election. Shaking hands with a politician and then counting your fingers. Rushing to the polls and discovering that some thoughtful thug has already voted for you. Smoking a candidate's free cigar. And then being fined for creating smog. I adore elections. They're so gay.
It ain't for me. Imagine, Digger, my own wife is making a speech tonight against me. She's calling me all kinds of terrible names.
Oh, I don't believe it. Your dear wife would never call you names in public.
She's got politic poison. She's making a speech this very minute.
Oh, Riley, suspend judgment. We must go to this meeting and investigate. In our profession, we have a saying. You can't be sure of your ground until you go below the surface.
Oh, if only I was mistaken, I'd be the happiest.
Come, Riley, we mustn't dilly-dally. We'd better be shoveling off.
Citizens, tonight I won't talk about my husband, Chester Riley. He's a fine, honest man who innocently fell into the clutches of the shifty Edwards machine.
Boo! Boo!
The real menace to the community is Joe Barton.
Boo!
Let me tell you what kind of a man Barton really is. A man who's bribed his way through life. A man whose record is that of a fraud, a cheat, and an un...
Here's the hall, Digger.
Well, hurry, man. Let's go in.
Yeah. Look, she started.
Shh, let's listen.
I'm not finished yet. I've studied this man carefully. I know his record.
You hear, Digger, my own wife?
He's a man who'd not hesitate to rob the poor.
How can she say such a thing?
And I have the proof.
She found out about the dollar I took from her purse.
Quiet, right.
And this man wants to be park supervisor. Park supervisor? What does he know about children? He's not even a father.
Now that's going too far. That I won't stand for.
Riley, control yourself.
Riley, for heaven's sake, sit down.
Please, folks, don't believe her. I am a father. When my Babs and Junior were born, I almost went crazy with worry in the hospital. Ask my wife. She was there, too.
Riley, will you please sit down? I'm talking about Joe Barton.
Joe Barton. He never even came near that hospital. A fine father. Joe Barton? You're talking about Joe... You didn't mean... You still love me?
Oh, Riley, this is hardly the place to... Of course I do.
Oh, Dumplin. Folks, listen to me. I ain't worthy to have a wife like Peg. She's wonderful. Don't vote for me. Don't vote for Barton. Vote for Peg for supervisor. She'll be the best supervisor you've ever had. I ought to know. For years she's been supervising me. And look at the result. So come on, everybody. For she's a jolly good fellow.
Final returns in the 15th district.
Oh, Riley, I'm so nervous.
Quit worrying, Dumplin. You're a cinch to win.
For park supervisor, Joe Barton, 103 votes. Mrs. Chester Riley, 1,078 votes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, gosh, that's great.
Chester A. Riley.
Quiet, Junior.
One vote.
One vote?
Well, Pop, at least you voted for yourself.
But I didn't. I forgot to vote. Somebody else voted for me. Well, this proves there's at least one person in this district who thinks I'm brilliant, honest, and clever enough to be park supervisor. Gee, who could have... Oh, Peg, you shouldn't have done it.
The Life of Riley, from May 4th, 1951, on NBC. You're listening to The Door to Suspense Hour. On Tuned to Yesterday, I'm Mark Levonier. Following her run on The Life of Riley, Paula Winslow started making appearances on television. Among her first came from radio, when she co-starred in Our Miss Brooks, featuring many of the original radio casts in the early 1950s. And she was still a very present voice on the air at this time, turning to more dramatic work on the whole, with roles in crime shows like Broadway Is My Beat and The Lineup, and was a regular player on radio's Suspense, appearing in over 70 broadcasts throughout the 50s, usually in supporting roles alongside famous Hollywood players. But in terms of radio actors, she was royalty, as one of the relatively few character actors that had consistent work on the air. And because she was so versatile, she wasn't really typecast in any particular role, even though she was beloved for her comedy work on The Life of Riley. Winslow was practically among the stock company of players on radio's outstanding Theater of Thrills, and because of this, she rarely received top billing. That is until the broadcast of January 24, 1956, where she joined Gunsmoke co-star and Suspense regular Parley Bear in an episode written by the director. The script itself isn't complicated, and the story not even rising to the top of the greatest suspense plays, but the slow rise of tension and horror in the story was tasked to one of radio's most capable voice actors for a reason. Here's Paula Winslow, now in a rare lead role from the series, in the play The Cellar Door from CBS Radio.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding Theater of Thrills... Suspense. Tonight, we bring you a transcribed story of a mother, a father, a locked door, and a baby. We call it The Cellar Door. So now, starring Paula Winslow and Parley Bear, here is tonight's suspense play, The Cellar Door.
And... Oh. Well, the weather's great. We finally got a perfect Sunday.
I thought you were going to wash the car.
Well, I decided to mow the lawn instead.
Yeah, I could hear you.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
What's new?
New.
Hey, did you hear that, Ann? He can say anything now. That woman on the corner?
Miss Emerson.
Yeah. She wouldn't believe me when I told her Sandy wasn't quite two. She thought he was three or four.
Oh, really, Joe?
That's right.
Toast.
We'll have lunch right after your bath, honey.
Well, what's the schedule?
Well, I'm going to bathe him now, lunch, and his nap, and then we can go to the park.
Mm-hmm. I better drain some of that water out of the heater. Where's the bucket, Ann? Down the basement?
Oh, I moved everything onto the service porch. It was too tough going up and down those stairs.
Hey, look. All those toys, and he plays with an egg beater.
Oh, say, the water heater's all right, Joe. If you have to fix something, how about the light socket in the bedroom closet, huh?
Hell, I'll fix them both.
Oh, what was that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's those kids from across the street.
Oh, they must have kicked that football in the yard again.
Where are you going?
They're killing the hedge. I'll be right back.
Oh, come on, Sandy. We'll run the water into the tub.
Hey, fellas, don't go through. The hedge go around it. It's the only hedge I got to my name.
Sorry, Joe. I'll keep them over.
Where's your
here.
Boat, honey? Can't take a bath without the boat. And right after your nap, we'll go to the park and ride in the pony cart. Oh, here's your boat. Now, look, don't go out in the hall, dear. You stay here.
I'll be down in the basement, honey.
Did you save the hedge?
Yeah, I guess I'm getting old. I've been nursing that hedge for 3 years.
Say, can you watch Sandy for a minute? I want to get a towel out of the kitchen.
Sure.
And turn the water off, will you, honey?
Right. We'll take on the ponies this afternoon, son, huh? Hey, Ann?
What's wrong?
Nothing, but look at Sandy.
What'd he do?
He took off his stockings.
Oh, he's been doing that for months.
Yeah, I know, but look how neatly he tucked them in his shoes. Just like I do.
Cute. Hey.
Well, is there something wrong with putting my arms around you?
No. You going to fix the light socket upstairs?
After I drain the water heater.
Sandy's bath's going to get cold.
Okay. I'm on my way.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah?
Put a low flame under the pans on the stove, will you?
Check.
Thanks, dear. Oh, the water's just right. Come on, you take off your pants.
No.
Oh, you did it yesterday. Come on, start with the buttons. Oh, Joe, can you answer the phone? Joe!
I'm down in the basement.
Oh, well, I'll get it. Come on, give me your hand, Sandy. We'll answer the phone together. Oh, you better let me carry you again. The floor is cold and you got your shoes off. There we go. Now, hang on.
Phone.
No, phone.
Phone.
Hello? Oh, fine. Yeah, look, can I call you back, Mother? I was just going to give Sandy his bath. He's fine. No, he didn't have a cold after all. Mother, look, can I call you back? Yeah, all right, you call me back. Mm-hmm. About 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, bye. To the bath, we hope.
Who was it?
My mother.
Oh. Where are the flyers?
In the kitchen.
Well, would you throw them down to me?
All right. Sandy, we may never have a bath.
Toast.
Yeah,
toast.
Lunch. Lunch. We'll have lunch
down.
And just... Okay, sweetie. I guess the floor's not that cold. Come on out in the kitchen with me. We gotta find Daddy the pliers. See? Pliers.
Lights on.
No, honey, we only turn the lights on in the evening when it's dark. Come on, let's go back in the hall.
Hall?
No, no, hall. This is the hall.
Ann?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Well, throw them down.
Oh, Joe, you shouldn't leave the cellar door open. Not with Sandy around.
Well, I knew he was with you. You got the pliers?
Yes.
Well, throw them down.
Look, Sandy, you wait right here in the hall. Now, only be gone a second. You wait right here.
Hey, what are you doing?
Well, I have to come down a few steps. I can't throw it around the bend in the stairs.
Okay.
Now, I'll be right back, honey. And you stay right here. Okay, here you are. Catch.
Strike. Thanks, dear. Hey, what's the rush?
Well, I left Sandy in the hall.
Oh, well, when do we eat?
Oh, about 10 minutes. Joe. Joe!
What's wrong?
The door's locked. I can't get out.
Well, now, don't get excited. We'll get it open. Why didn't you put the catch on the lock?
Well, I thought you had. The door was open.
Did you have to close the door?
What do you want Sandy to fall down the stairs?
just a baby. He might fall in the tub. He might... Anything could happen. Try the lock.
The lock's on the other side. The only thing here is the bolt that holds the lock. The only thing I'm breaking open is my shoulder.
Well, you've got to get this door open. He's out there alone.
I know it. Keep your voice down and relax. There's no use scaring the kid.
Joe, there's water in the bathtub. There's a flame on the stove. Do something. Only get the door open.
Hey, what's that?
Oh, he's playing with the egg beater. At least he's still in the hall. Look, can't you pry it open?
The hinges are on the other side. It's a spring lock. There's no way of turning the lock from here.
Sandy! Sandy!
Hi. Bye-bye.
Oh, honey, I'll be right out. You wait there by the door. Mommy will be right out.
What?
Where are you going?
See if I can find anything in the basement to smash open that door.
Sandy! Oh, Joe, hurry, will you? Sandy! Joe, he's not in the hall. I can't hear him.
What happened to that old hammer I had down here?
I don't know. Sandy! Sandy!
I couldn't find anything but a screwdriver and the pliers. It should do the trick.
Oh, he's not in the hall. He doesn't answer.
Now, take it easy. Falling apart isn't going to help.
What are you doing?
Well, if I can twist this bolt... It's part of the lock.
Well, hurry.
It's going to take a few seconds. See if you can get him back in the hall.
Oh, okay. Sandy! Sandy! Joe, what was that?
What was what?
It sounded like water splashing.
No, I didn't hear anything.
I left the back door open. The screen door isn't locked. If he went outside, the traffic...
Well. This isn't going to work.
Well, you've got
to... I'll have to try something else.
Oh, he's got his toy duck.
Yeah, he's in the hall.
Down by the bathroom. Sandy!
Sandy!
I always give him the duck when he's in the water.
Come down here by the door. Right here, Sandy. Where Daddy's knocking.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Sandy, stay right here.
Let me talk. Sandy, come up to the door. Right here. Do you see the little knob, Sandy? Can you turn it for Daddy?
Oh, he doesn't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I've seen him play with every doorknob in the house.
But he can't reach it, Joe. He gets up on his chair.
Sandy, get your chair, Sandy. Get your chair and bring it to the door.
Look, Joe, can't you pry the door open?
No, I can't. Sandy, get your chair and bring it to the door.
Oh, we could be here till tomorrow morning, till the cleaning woman comes.
Get your chair, Sandy.
Joe.
Shh. He's going for his chair.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop beating yourself. It isn't going to open the door. I don't know why you closed it.
But I told you.
Well, why didn't you pick him up and bring him with you?
I should have been gone only a couple of seconds. I don't like to carry him down these stairs. They're so steep.
Well, you know how the lock works.
You were down in the basement. I thought you put the catch on the lock.
But I left the door open.
Oh, how many times have I told you, with Sandy in the house, not to leave the basement door open?
Well, he was with you.
Oh, what was that?
Sounds like he's pulling the pots and pans out of the cupboard.
Joe, I've got things cooking on the stove.
Sandy!
Don't shout like that. You'll scare him half to death. Sandy!
Sandy, bring your chair to the door.
Oh, he's doing it.
That's a good boy. Bring it right up to the door. Come on, closer. That's a good boy. Now, get on the chair, son. Get on the chair and turn the knob.
Oh, he's gone for his duck.
He probably left it in the kitchen.
Well, he'll come back as soon as he finds the duck. Oh, I hope he didn't throw it in the tub. Joe!
What?
The window!
Oh, it's too high.
You could raise me up to the window.
Sure, but you'd never get through. It's too narrow.
I can wiggle through.
It's too small.
Well, we could at least try.
It's a waste of time, Ann. We can't afford it. You can't get through that window.
Well, I will.
Ann, stop it. Stop it!
Let me go.
That isn't going to help either. You can't tear down the door.
Let go!
Take it easy.
Well, help it.
It's better not to frighten him. Sandy!
Oh. He's still looking for the duck.
Sandy, come to the door.
Daddy.
Daddy's right here, son. Now turn the little knob. Climb up on your chair and turn it for Daddy.
Mom.
Climb on the chair, Sandy.
Let me talk to him. You don't want to confuse him. Come on, Buster, up on the chair. He did it.
Hang on to the doorknob, Sandy.
It's all right. Turn the little shiny knob, Sandy. The one under the doorknob. The lock. Now look what you've done. He's playing with a doorknob.
Well, he has to hang on to something. I don't want him to fall.
Shh. The little knob below the doorknob, son. The little shiny one. That's the lock.
Bye-bye.
No. Stay right there, son. Don't go away. Now turn the shiny one. Right here where Daddy's tapping.
Door.
Oh, Joe. He's too young to understand.
Watch the doorknob, Sandy. See how I turn the doorknob? Now, you turn the one under it. It's your turn now, Sandy. Good boy. Now turn it all the way.
He's turning it the wrong way.
No, turn it the other way, son, and to your right. I mean, turn the other way. Once more, Sandy.
Oh, he fell off the chair. Sandy, baby, are you all right?
Okay, Sandy.
Oh, as if he could tell us.
No, he's all right. Sandy, fix your chair.
The game's over, Joe. Can't you break it open?
Well, you saw me try.
Sandy will be right out. You wait right there in the hall.
Hey, we're right across from the Donaldson's kitchen.
Well, I don't think they're home.
Ed! Ed!
Oh, they couldn't possibly hear you.
Yeah.
Sandy! Come back and wait by the door. Oh, Sandy!
I can hear him in the kitchen.
Oh, there must be some way.
If I could just get this bolt loose.
Well, that's what you should have done in the first place.
Well, it's frozen tight.
Oh, it moved.
That was the pliers, not the bolt.
Sandy!
He's still in the kitchen.
Oh, don't be so sure.
Oh, you always expect the worst.
If the house was on fire, you wouldn't admit it.
Well, I don't go around looking for trouble.
What you mean is that I face things and you don't.
No, what I mean is you're not happy unless there's something wrong, and if there isn't something wrong, you create it.
I created this, I suppose.
Yes, unconsciously.
Look, I have told you 100 times not to leave the basement door open. Tell me I created
it. All right, it's my fault. I did it. I'm to blame. I'm also to blame for this bolt. It won't turn, but it's my fault. Ow!
Oh, that's how you always try to settle things. It's my fault. Only you never mean it. Fine defense.
Well, I've had to learn a few, like at the Henderson's party the other night.
The Henderson's? That was over a month ago.
Oh, what difference does it make? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's probably Mother. She was supposed to call back.
Sandy's found his duck.
He always picks up the phone unless I'm there to stop him.
Well, let him pick it up. If we didn't come to the phone, she might get the idea there's something wrong.
Sandy!
Leave him alone. He's in the hall.
Sounds like he's next to the phone. Oh!
Was that the phone?
He pulled it to the floor. Say hello to Grandma, Sandy. Say hello to Grandma. Oh, I guess it doesn't make any difference whether it's Grandma or not.
I can't hear him if you keep talking.
No, I don't hear anything.
Sandy!
Sandy!
Well, he's not in the hall.
Maybe they'll phone back.
Oh, he never puts the receiver back. Sandy! Sandy, come out here in the hall. Can you hear him?
No. Now, what are you doing?
Well, this screwdriver isn't very sharp, but I think I can chisel enough of this door jamb away to get the lock.
That should work.
Here, hold the pliers.
Oh, hurry.
Well, I'm going as fast as I can.
Oh. Sandy! Oh, if he was in the house, he could hear me.
He may be back in his room playing.
Oh, Joe, you haven't even gotten the paint off.
Well, if I had a knife, There, we're beginning to get someplace.
Did you hear that?
What?
The back door.
He's gone outside.
Why didn't she listen?
Well, how could you?
I'm listening for him, too.
Sandy! Oh, he's gone outside.
There you go again.
Well, he could be outside.
And he could be in his room.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, is this going to work?
What?
Are you going to be able to open the door?
Don't start to break up. Not now.
Well, you didn't answer
it's me. It's going to work.
Oh. How much longer?
5, maybe 10 minutes. I don't know. It's like trying to crack cement with a toothpick.
I hope he's in his room.
He's in his room.
I hope so.
What was that?
Something hit the window.
Hey, it's a football. I can see part of it.
It must be those kids from across the street.
They'll come to get it.
Look, Joe, don't start shouting until we see them.
I can see his feet.
Come around to the back door and let us out.
We're trapped in here.
Give me the pliers.
Please help us.
Above instead of the window. Well, they're gone.
Oh, they must have heard us.
Probably thought we were shouting at them for kicking the football into our yard. Here, hold the pliers. Get closer. I'll be able to shove the lock back if I can get deep enough.
Sandy!
Even if he went into the yard, he might stay there.
Oh, I hope he didn't get into the bathtub. He had his duck and the boat was already there.
What time is it?
Well, I don't have my watch.
He didn't put the receiver back or the phone would ring again.
We've been in here at least an hour.
Well, it won't be long now. Can you move over and give me a little more room?
Well, I'm flat against the wall.
Okay.
Don't start taking it out on me.
That's right. Start putting words in my mouth.
Look, I don't have to go back a month, like the Henderson party, to find something to complain about.
Complain? Oh, you make it sound so simple. One small complaint.
If I knew what you were talking about, it might help.
If you knew what I mean. I felt like a fool.
What did I do?
You know.
No, I don't know.
I don't have to tell you.
Well, then I'll never know.
Then you'll never do. That's what's so infuriating about it.
Oh, but Sandy!
I think I heard him.
Oh, where?
I thought I heard him down the hall.
I don't hear him.
Sandy!
Oh, keep working at the door.
What do you think I'm doing? I tell you, it was uncomfortable.
Oh, at the party.
Yes, at the party.
Oh, well, you'll have to let me in on it. I'm in the dark.
Well, did you have to insult everyone by talking to Healy all night?
Oh, he's 20. I'm 10... 12 years old.
That's not the point. I'm only accusing you of being rude.
What did I do that was so rude?
You didn't mix with anyone. You didn't talk to anyone. You ignored everyone.
Well, you're the one who told me how to act at parties.
Oh, it's my fault.
When I complained about these parties for business reasons and how much they bored me, you're the one who told me how to act at them.
Oh, I'm sorry I even mentioned...
You said find somebody interesting, hang on to them, spend the evening with them. All I did was take your advice.
But you still have to acknowledge that there are other people present.
Oh, for it. Those people aren't interested in seeing me. They only want to see you. I'm your wife, so I go along.
Oh, that isn't true.
You're the bright young man in town. That's why we go to parties like the Hendersons.
Well, is that bad?
Well, of course not. I'm always ready to be of help.
Oh, don't go out of your way for me. Don't do me any favors.
Oh, that's unfair.
Yeah, now be a martyr.
Sandy! Oh, why doesn't he answer?
I'm hitting metal. A few more seconds and that's all.
Well, from here on in, you can go to parties all by yourself.
Oh, you think people only want to know you because of me? You envy my job, you envy everything I do. That's the problem.
No, it's you. It's you. You're never satisfied. You want too much. Because you're not a smashing success overnight, you take it out on me.
All right, I'm a failure.
Yes, in more ways than one.
I can tell you, if it wasn't for the kid, I'd...
But you can leave tonight.
And I intend to. Last, there's the lock. Now, push on the door as I shove the lock back. Not yet. Okay. Now.
What's wrong?
The screwdriver slipped. That's what's wrong. We'll try again. Okay. Push. That's it.
Oh, Sandy! Where are you?
Sandy!
Oh, he's not in the kitchen.
Try the bathroom.
Sandy!
His duck's in the tub. Maybe he's in his room.
Look, I'll look there. You better look outside.
All right.
Sandy!
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 Sandy! Oh, Ann!
Oh,
Ann!
I found him.
Well, where are you?
Don't shout. He's sound asleep.
Roy. Is he okay?
Yes. He got tired and went to sleep.
Where'd you find him?
In the hall closet.
In the hall? Let me take him.
No, I'll hold him.
Where are you going?
To put him to bed.
You want me to?
No, I'll do it. What time is it?
11:25.
Oh, no, it can't be. We must have been in there a couple of hours.
We were only in there about 20 minutes. I'm sorry about those things I said. You know I didn't mean them. You know I love you.
Put the receiver back on the phone. Turn the flame off on the stove. As soon as I get him in bed, we'll have lunch.
Suspense. In which Paula Winslow and Parley Bear starred in tonight's presentation of The Cellar Door.
Suspense from January 24th, 1956 on CBS, closing this Door to Suspense Hour on Tuned to Yesterday featuring Paula Winslow. Be sure to be with us again as we enjoy more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.